Let's call this meeting to order. It's 10 o'clock, and let's stand. All please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Colonel Hunter, if you'll lead the pledge.
Absolutely. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. Director, a roll call.
Thank you, sir. Sheriff Daniels is in the room.
Here.
Commander Figueroa is in the room.
Here.
Mr. Johnson's in the room. Ms. Kelly's in the room. Officer Medina's in the room. Professor Robinson's in the room. Director Shin's in the room. Deputy Director Hunter's in the room. Chief Vasquez is in the room. Ms. Weiss, can you hear us?
I can. Good morning.
Good morning. And Chief Williams is in the room. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Director. Before we turn over to your presentations report, Director, any comments from board members, any announcements anybody wants to make? Good to see everybody. It's the first time I think we've seen the panel full up here, so it's nice to see. Back to you, Director.
And I would echo your comments. It's nice to have everybody here in person again. Just a couple announcements. We're in the final stages of hiring a compliance specialist to replace Steve Jacobs. Steve in the back there retires in early part of January, so we're hoping to get someone on board early next month to start learning the ropes and have that person fully up and running. They're in the final stages of hiring, so again, we hope to have them on board in early October. And I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize the incredible relationship we have with DPS Human Resources. They help us immensely. They're incredibly responsive, and again, we couldn't be successful without them. So, Director, thank you for the service of your folks, because they're amazing to work with.
I'll take that back to them. Thank you.
And that's all the announcements I have. If you'd like, I can go right into my executive director report.
Sure. Thank you.
Just a couple things I want to touch on today. We talked about it last month, but Prop 207 funding and how it relates to academy reimbursements. We were advised that we normally submit for appropriated funding to, and we use it exclusively to reimburse academies for their successful graduates. We were advised that with Prop 207 funding going to the academy or to each individual agencies, the intent of the legislature was for that money to be used to reimburse the academies for successful graduates. So we were advised not to submit for our appropriated funding this year for that purpose. So we're still working through what that looks like. I have an academy directors meeting scheduled for the end of the month where I'll discuss that with the academy directors, and then I'll be putting something out to all the agency heads to give them the heads up that beginning July 1st of 2022, Arizona Post will no longer be reimbursing academies for their successful graduates. So again, it's a difference. Looking at the numbers that the disbursements went out in July for that first payment for the 207 funding, it appears that every agency will have enough in that fund to cover their academy reimbursements, if not more. But again, we're still working through that. Hopefully by next month, we'll have it solidified exactly what that's going to look like, and that'll give agencies 8 or 9 months to prepare for that eventuality. A couple other things, House Bill 2462, that's a civilian oversight review. We're still working on that. Chuck Miller, I don't know if he's in the room, but he's our point of contact on that program. We are working with several outside agencies to create 80 hours of training that we believe meets the statutory requirements. Again, it won't be mandatory that you have to use that 80 hours. The statute only says it has to be Arizona Post-approved training. But we felt it would be good for us to put out some training that people can use. We've already gotten some stuff from Tucson PD. They're kind of going their own route. We're looking through that now. If we approve that, that would be another avenue agencies could pull from that training to meet their statutory requirements. Just a couple of things I want to touch on. Advanced training. Again, I'm really excited about that. Again, I think Mandy Fowler's team are doing an amazing job on advanced training. They're hosting a BLA in Payson this week. Our executive leadership program is scheduled for the end of October. We had a crazy amount of interest, but we were able to actually give every agency that requested a seat, we were able to give them at least one seat in that class. So really excited about that for the end of October. Again, we retooled it after the first one, and the curriculum is outstanding. We're bringing in some outside presenters that I think your folks that attend that will really come back with some really beneficial knowledge. And then basic training, again, the same thing. Lori Waite and her team are doing a great job. Their level of engagement, I think I was talking with someone earlier, their level of engagement right now at the academies is the best it's probably ever been from Arizona Post, and we're hearing that feedback from the academies. And moving into 2022, now that we have the correct staffing, Lori and her team will be going out to the academies to do audits. You know, we push out curriculum all the time, but we don't ever go out and audit it. And what's really nice is our level of engagement, their level of engagement is so high right now that the academies are welcoming it. They want our folks on staff. They want our folks on their property to look and see what they're doing. So, again, I'm really proud of the work that Lori and her team are doing. They actually, a couple other things they do, we're trying to get out to academy graduations. So Lori and a couple of her team members went down to Yuma last week for the Arizona Western graduation, which is really cool. And again, I believe they were recognized in one of the speeches that they were there in attendance. And then Gilbert's Academy kicked off this week. So Monday morning, Lori and her entire team were out there to greet the recruits as they arrived. And they said it was really invigorating to see the sort of militaristic arrival of the recruits, and it was really well attended. So again, I thank Lori and her team for taking the time to go out there, because it's out in Gilbert and it started very early in the morning, so they were on the road pretty early. But again, it's just their level of commitment I'm really impressed with. A couple other things. Rulemaking update. I know every time I say that, Mike Gimarino cringes a little bit, because rulemaking is incredibly tedious, but he is doing a phenomenal job with that process. We should hopefully by October have the final proposed rules that I can present to you, and see if you'll be willing to give us permission to move forward and continue that rulemaking process. But again, I think there's some really relevant things we're changing, just updating some things and making it a better working relationship and more efficient for us as well as our partner agencies. Next week we're hosting a BI school. Mike Oroz is the one representing that or putting that on for us and coordinating it. I think, Mike, if I'm not mistaken, we have more than 150 people. Yeah. We'll be doing it both virtually as well as in person, people who locally want to attend in person. But again, having 150, 160 people attend a BI school that we do a couple times a year is pretty impressive. It just means people want to learn. And again, it's clearly a need for training. So again, Mike, thanks to you and your team for putting that training on next week. Just a couple other things. There's a couple states in the country that their post boards don't have the ability to take action, take sanctions on officers' certifications. As things are progressing and things are changing and the dynamics and the community's response to things that have happened nationally and the community's requests to take action on certifications, I've been contacted by both Massachusetts. I had a long conversation with them last week to kind of go over how we do things, how you do things regarding people's certifications. And then next month, actually on site, we'll have California Post will be here. They're going to sit through the board meeting next month to see how it works, because currently California does not have the ability to revoke or suspend an officer's certification. So the Assembly, if you've been following it, the California Assembly has been pushing that forward. I think it's just about ready to be signed by the governor. So they're coming out to see how we do things. And then the next day, we're going to sit down as a staff and meet with them individually and go over how we do compliance. Because again, as I've told you before, although we're doing a lot of work on training now, compliance is probably still more than half of what we do here at Arizona Post. So if you can envision and extrapolate, we have 15,000 officers approximately. California has approximately 90,000. If you can do that number in your head, it's going to be quite a monumental task for them. So any help we can provide them, because they're always really good about providing us insight and guidance on questions we have. Just two more things. Our CJEF funding, we're still meeting our projections, which is really good, because that helps us keep the lights on. So we're happy with that. And the last thing is, just so you know, the ACOP Laughlin Conference, I'll be attending the week of October 25th. And that's just, they do two meetings a year. We'll be attending that. And we'll be recognizing one Steve Jacobs for his multi-decade service to Arizona Post. So again, I think earlier, Steve, I mentioned we were going to replace you. You're not replaceable. We're just going to get someone to take over your caseload. How's that? So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'll end my executive director's report, and happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
Thank you, Director. Congratulations, Steve. Thank you for your service. You've been a pleasure to work with, my friend. Any questions from this membership for the director? Hearing none, we'll move on. Thank you, Director. Consent agenda. Everybody get a chance to look at the consent agenda. If they have, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair Jerry Williams. I move to adopt the consent agenda as written.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Lisa. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Agenda item E, AZ Post DUI Subcommittee. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Director.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I can take this, Chief Williams, unless you'd like to.
Oh, no. Okay.
Well, thank you, ma'am. We had our subcommittee meeting this morning. There was some really good discussion, and ultimately the subcommittee made a motion to recommend to the full board that we pretty much status quo. We keep things the way they are now, currently, and that would be with cases coming before the board with a BAC of 0.150 or above, or other aggravating circumstances related to the DUI investigation. So with that, again, I'd be happy to answer any questions any of the board members might have.
Any discussion by membership?
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, if I may. I'll just speak for myself. I actually thought it was going to be easy to put this thing in a rubric and make it work for all the different agencies, 159 agencies in this state, and it's not that simple. So while not perfect, at least having a baseline of the 0.15 as well as other aggravating factors at least gives us something to be consistent with. I know Ms. Kelly talked a lot about the consistency piece, as well as perhaps hoping to mandate treatment, which we were told that we couldn't. Hopefully the agency heads who have issues that happen that way really require their employees to seek treatment to make them a better person. So with that, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chief. And I had a comment 5-6 years ago when this was a topic back then. We had numerous chiefs and sheriffs come to this board and actually, absent aggravated circumstances, ask agency discretion, like you're talking about, Chief. So it's not an easy decision. I commend this committee for looking into this, and I'll yield back to the membership here for comments. Answers or comments, I'd like to actually formalize that in the form of a motion from the subcommittee. Chief, if you're the chair, to make that motion.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jerry Williams, I so move that we adopt the recommendation that has been presented by the board on the DUI subcommittee.
Thank you, Chief. And as a subcommittee, we don't need a second on that since you represent the board. Any discussion? I'll call for the motion. All in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, the subcommittee on that.
So do we need to sunset the committee, too?
Mr. Mark Brock, I get a second motion. Yes.
You do need a second on that, even out of the subcommittee?
No. So I need to make a second motion to sunset the committee. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So, Mr. Chair, Jerry Williams again, making a motion to sunset the DUI committee as it stands or as we agree.
Thank you, Chief. I have misunderstood what you're doing. Do we have a second?
Beth Figueroa, a second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Chief, and the committee again. All righty, moving on. Agenda item number F, Flagstaff PD petition for applicant Sean Miller. Mr. Brack, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a petition by the Flagstaff Police Department, and the applicant is Sean Miller. During the hiring process, Mr. Miller disclosed that 10 years earlier, he ingested dangerous drugs twice, one time cocaine and one time mushrooms. Because Mr. Miller consumed dangerous drugs twice since he was 21 years of age, his consumption is disqualifying conduct under your rules, and that would be Rule 105B. Still, Flagstaff Police Department can petition the board that Mr. Miller's consumption should not be disqualifying conduct. And that petition would be submitted under Administrative Rule 105C. In your board packet is a board communication which outlines the factors for the board to consider. The factors are actually on the second page of that board communication at the top. An executive officer or representative with the Flagstaff Police Department is present remotely to further present the agency's petition. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Brachtel. Sergeant Turley, can you hear us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me, sir?
I can. I'll yield the floor. Good morning to you, and the floor is yours.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members, and thank you for giving your time in order to present in front of you today. My name is Ryan Turley. I'm a sergeant with the Flagstaff Police Department. I'm here on behalf of the Flagstaff Chief of Police to request a waiver for the limits of the amount of times an applicant can use certain illegal drugs after turning the age of 21. The applicant I wish to get a waiver for is named Sean Miller. When Sean was 21 years old, he ingested cocaine one time and mushrooms one time for experimental purposes. He did not like the way how he felt after consuming them, and he has not touched them since. He did not purchase these illegal drugs, as he was supplied to them by a friend. Mr. Miller is currently 32 years old, and has since this consumption, he has completed an associate's degree in criminal justice. He was an intern for the Oak Creek Police Department in Wisconsin. He has held a job as a park ranger for the city of Madison in Wisconsin, and also held a job as a park worker 3 for the city of Madison. He moved to Flagstaff during the COVID-19 pandemic, where it was difficult for him to find a job, but he continuously searched for a job and currently is employed with a car maintenance company. Through my background investigation, I did not discover any conduct or behavior that was so egregious that would erode the public trust. And due to this being 10 years ago since the ingestion of these illegal drugs, and the fact that he's earned a college degree, was an intern for our police department, worked as a park ranger, and other city jobs for the city of Madison, he has showed he's a productive member of society, and we would like to ask the board for a waiver of at least one of these drug uses so he can meet the minimum standards of being a police officer for the city of Flagstaff. Chief Musselman with the Flagstaff Police Department is currently aware of my presence in front of the board today, and he's expressed his support in hiring Mr. Miller as a police officer. I'm currently sitting next to Mr. Miller, and with your permission, he would like to make a statement, or he can answer any questions you may have. And thank you so much for taking the time to listen to me today.
Thank you, Sergeant Turley. Any questions for Sergeant Turley from the board? Okay. So the applicant, what's his name again here?
It's Sean Miller, sir.
Mr. Miller, if you want to speak and address the board, we'll give you a few minutes.
Good morning. My name is Sean Miller. I am here because due to 2 instances of narcotic usage over a decade ago, I did not meet the minimum standards for certification through Arizona Post, and thereby am ineligible to continue the process of becoming a law enforcement officer in the state of Arizona. I hope after today you are able to waive one of these indiscretions, enabling me to become an officer with the Flagstaff Police Department. When I was 21, I made the poor decision to experiment one time with cocaine and one time with mushrooms. Soon after, I regretted my choices. I acknowledged that what I did was wrong, and I never again considered any narcotic usage. This experience allowed me to understand why these narcotics are illegal, dangerous, and have no place on the streets, and contributed to my drive, to pursue a career in law enforcement. When I was 23, I moved from Monona, Wisconsin to Milwaukee to start working towards my future career aspirations. I enrolled at Milwaukee Area Technical College and graduated with an associate's degree in criminal justice. During my time at MATC, I was elected president of the Criminal Justice Student Organization by my peers. With that organization, I was able to work directly with the community and other groups to help bridge the gap between law enforcement and civilians. I led the CJSO by planning and executing events and fundraisers and other activities within the community. I completed an internship with the Oak Creek Police Department in Wisconsin, during which I was able to learn firsthand about many facets of police work. I spent time with dispatch, audited in the courts, patrolled with officers, attended training sessions in crisis negotiation and use of force, and worked directly with the ECU team. I received a letter of recommendation from the lieutenant in charge, along with many commendations from those people and other officers that I worked with. Upon completion of my internship, I moved back to Monona, where I worked as a park ranger for the city of Madison. Here, I was able to use my skills of quick decision-making, conflict resolution, report writing, and professional communication to help keep Madison's many residential and conservation parks safe, and was also awarded a Meritorious Service Award from the city's Recreation Services Coordinator. For the past 11 years, I have been an exemplary citizen and have continued to feed my drive to serve and protect my community as a law enforcement officer. In a time where community policing is paramount, our society is in need of public servants who can build and maintain a strong rapport with the public. I would be humbled by the opportunity to help fill this role, and I'm confident in my ability to do so effectively and with decorum. I ask that you waive one instance of drug usage so I may obtain Arizona post-certification, attend the academy, and begin my career as an officer with the Flagstaff Police Department. And I greatly thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Any questions for Mr. Miller from board members?
Mr. Chairman, may I address the board again?
Yes, Mr. Proctor.
Thank you. Mark Brockle speaking. So the question before the board is not to waive one drug use. This gentleman consumed dangerous drugs twice. He owns it, and he has to own it. The question before the board is if there are unique circumstances such that the best interests of the welfare and safety is not jeopardized in the law enforcement profession will be served. It's that same standard that the board practices day in, day out. So if those factors are satisfied, then the board certainly can move to waive, to grant the petition and the waiver. It's just a point of clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Brax, for that clarification. I know in 2020 we did not change this rule. We supported this committee, supported this board, supported that. So have we gone beyond that expectation? Have we made a waiver?
That, Mr. Chair, that was going to be my question. Is this, have we done this before, or is this going to be the first time that we've done this?
Right. To my knowledge, since the board has adopted new pre-employment drug usage guidelines and standards, the board has not granted waivers outside of that.
That's what I thought. Thank you, Director. Comments from board members or questions?
Mr. Chairman, and Kevin Robinson, you know, I'm about giving people a second chance, but there is the concern that I would have about that slippery slope, especially when it comes to dangerous drugs. And I'd be curious to hear what my fellow board members, where they stand on the issue, because I think that's what we have to consider. You know, where, you know, this is 10 years ago, it was two drugs, and he owns it, and that's great. I appreciated his presentation, and it's what I want to hear. But I just worry about us starting something that we will be dealing with time and time again if we go down this road. So I'd be curious to hear from anyone else who wants to comment on that. So
Mr. Chair, if I may, to Professor Robinson's point, Sergeant Turley and to Mr. Miller, appreciate your onus of this. That is definitely something that we all want to see as a post board. But that's why I asked the question that I asked. I wanted to know, have we done this before? And so the slippery slope that Professor Robinson is talking about is indeed why we're sitting here, just to make sure that we're maintaining consistency. So while I appreciate everything that's happened, I get that it's 10 years ago, I don't want this to be the precedent-setting case. Thank you.
Further comments? Lisa, go ahead.
Mark, I recall a couple years ago before we adopted the new policy that we did make exceptions for dangerous drugs, and it was something similar to this case, if I'm not correct.
This is Mark Bartle speaking. Yes, Ms. Weiss, that prior to the amendment of these administrative rules in June of last year, there were petitions that were granted by the board under those circumstances. You are correct. And just a point of clarification for the board. When the board amended its rules, it did leave in Rule 105C, which is the ability to petition the board.
And I appreciate that, and thank you for the clarification. And I think that was to leave in the human element. And I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but when I look at what we just decided about allowing agency discretion with regard to DUIs under 0.15, And the distinction between this, I'm not so sure. I see a bright line. I agree these are dangerous drugs. It was 10 years ago. And I don't know. I'm not so sure that I don't see a reason that gentlemen should be given a second chance.
Thank you, Lisa. Further comments? Director?
Chairman, so to go back to Chief Williams' question, is this a precedent-setting decision, or has these have these decisions previously been made through waiver? And if not, do we need to potentially table this to further research that question?
If Ms. Bratt, if I could say something on this. Since we, this board, I know some of the members are new on this board, we went back and looked at it for the right reasons. Number one, to meet the current times of hiring for law enforcement in the state, but this board agreed not to change that one. And since that time, we have not, based on what Mr. Brackton and what my knowledge tells me, we have not deviated from those rules. And this would be the first time we do that. I worry about once you open another door, how many more doors we got open from there, and then go back to where we have to come back and look at the whole thing again. So that's just a thought by me. So any other comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Lisa.
And again, my memory may not be correct, but I think exactly what Mr. Brackwell shared is we left the ability for an agency to petition this board for somebody that they felt was special in the sense that met all of their qualifications and needs, but sadly made a very unfortunate mistake years ago. So if we didn't want to allow somebody to come in and petition to get a waiver, then perhaps we should have taken out the ability to ask for one.
Thank you, Lisa.
Mr. Chairman, Matt Figueroa, I concur with her. I guess my thought is if we were never going to consider waiving somebody of this, then we probably should not have carried it over with the changes. I mean, if anybody was going to be a potential first time, I would consider this person as a first-time consideration based on how long it's been. Clearly, as stated, it was a one-time use. He was not in any part of the law enforcement realm when he made that decision when he was 21. So if there's ever going to be a time to truly look at a waiver consideration, I don't know why this person wouldn't be the first time. Or we go back and take that out. If we're never going to entertain even thinking about waiving somebody, even though the stipulation is there, then there's no reason for that to be there.
Thank you, Commander. Further comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So, Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move that we do not grant this petition.
Thank you,
to
Chief.
Mr. Miller, sorry.
That's right. Do I hear a second?
Ken Hunter, second.
Further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Ken, you got that? All opposed, signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Lisa, how do you vote?
Nay.
Okay. Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Thank you, Sergeant Shirley. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Next item will be item G, final action cases. First one is 19-214, Gino Durando. The floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'm Gino Durand. You're another Assistant Attorney General and your advocate attorney. The first issue is a motion to dismiss the complaint you issued in this case in May 20th, 2020. As I indicated in my motion, unfortunately, the respondent, Elijah DeFazio, has died. Mr. DeFazio was found deceased at his residence near Flagstaff by the Coconino County Sheriff's Office on August 4th of this year. Because the respondent is now deceased, the proceedings against his peace officer certification are moot. Therefore, I ask that you grant my motion and dismiss the May 20th, 2020 complaint. I'm happy to answer any questions you have or refer any questions to your independent legal advisor.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Any questions for Mr. Duran? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to grant the state's motion to dismiss and dismiss the May 20th, 2020 complaint.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Next case, item number 220-093. Mr. Graham, back to you.
Good morning again. Before you is a consent agreement. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, Officer Freddie Nehmeyer, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. Officer Nehmeyer is currently a police officer for the city of Hayden. He is represented by Attorney Donna McDaniel, who is present today. On December 26, 2019, Officer Nehmeyer responded to assist in the investigation of a traffic collision. At the scene, the officer arrested one of the parties involved and, after searching him, placed the subject's wallet on the hood of his patrol car. When Officer Nehmeyer went back into service from that scene, the wallet fell from his vehicle near the scene of the collision. Officer Nehmeyer did not attempt to retrieve the wallet, nor did he inform other officers at the scene to attempt to retrieve it. The wallet was never located, and attempts to contact the owner of the wallet were unsuccessful. The Hayden Police Department investigated the incident and determined that Officer Nehmeyer had indeed violated policy. The parties to the current consent agreement agree that Officer Nehmeyer's actions are in violation of post rules, specifically Rule 109A8 and A12. The parties propose that the board suspend Officer Nehmeyer's peace officer certification for a period of 30 days, beginning on December 1st through December 30th of this year. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for officers who have committed similar conduct. I am happy to answer any factual questions you may have and point out, I believe, if the board wishes to approve the agreement, there is a legal error in the wording of the motion. I would refer you to your independent legal advisor with regard to the language of the motion itself, not the language of the agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Mr. McDaniel, do you want to speak today?
Ms. McDaniel.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. Thank you. Thank you. All righty. To our legal counsel, is there a correction in the suggested motion?
Yes, Chairperson, members of the board. I noticed that the suggested motion does not mention the consent agreement itself. So my slight revision would be to recommend that the motion would be to accept the consent agreement and to suspend the peace officer certification. So just at the very beginning, to accept the consent agreement and to suspend.
Thank you, counsel. Appreciate that. Discussion by the board. Questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the consent agreement as written and suspend Mr. Nehmeyer's peace officer certification for 30 days, beginning December 1st, 2021, and ending December 30th, 2021.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, Jerry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Next case, number three, case number 20-143, Mr. Delton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the board. I'm Mike Delton with your compliance unit. My first case is a final action case, which involves former Maricopa Police Sergeant Mary Turner. On June 16, 2021, the board voted to initiate proceedings on this matter. The following is a summary of the case. On December 5, 2019, Commander Campbell approached Sergeant Turner while she was seated at her desk and placed documents contained in an envelope on her desk, then asked her to sign them and walked away. Later that same day, Sergeant Turner requested a meeting with the human resources officer where she reported that Commander Campbell threw some documents at her and asked her to sign them. Sergeant Turner said she felt disrespected by this, and actions from Commander Campbell were very demeaning and rude toward her. Commander Campbell disputed Sergeant Turner's version of this and said that he placed the paperwork on her desk and did not throw them at her. After being interviewed by the HR officer, Sergeant Turner was interviewed post-NOI, Notice of Investigation, by an outside contract investigator regarding this and several other allegations that she made against members of the Maricopa Police Department. During the second interview, Sergeant Turner was shown a video with no audio, which had recorded the interaction between Commander Campbell and her. This video clearly shows Commander Campbell placing the envelope containing documents onto Sergeant Turner's desk and not throwing them at her. After being shown this video, and in spite of clear and objective video evidence to the contrary, Sergeant Turner continued to insist that Commander Campbell threw the envelope at her, which she claimed was conduct unbecoming on the commander's part. This video was played for you, the board, during my first presentation on June 16th of this year. Sergeant Turner was found to be untruthful, and the Maricopa Chief of Police recommended that she be terminated from employment. Sergeant Turner resigned in lieu of termination. The board initiated proceedings against Sergeant Turner's certification on June 16th of this year, and complaint notices were sent to her address of record via certified and regular mail. United States Postal Service records indicated that the certified mailing was delivered to an individual at that address on June 25th, 2021, and the notice sent by regular mail was not returned to AZ Post. To date, neither Ms. Turner nor anyone representing her have contacted Arizona Post to request a hearing. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke peace officer certification, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Any questions for Mr. Dalton? Hearing none, discussion, comments, or I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. And I move to revoke Ms. I suggest we move to revoke Ms. Turner's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Ken Hunter, second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, could you, I may have missed that motion. Could that be repeated, what it was? What was the language?
Professor, you want to repeat that?
Certainly. I move to revoke Ms. Turner's peace officer certification.
Thank you, sir.
And second, Colonel?
Yes, sir.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, I'm saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Next agenda item is H, new cases. First case is 21-022. Mr. Dalton, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves former Camp Verde Police Sergeant Thomas Basil. The Camp Verde Marshal's Office alleges between July 26th and October 17th of 2020, Sergeant Basil falsified his biweekly time card. The work hours entered by Sergeant Basil during this three-month assessment came to a total of 69.25 hours that could not be confirmed as hours actually worked. The Sedona Police Department was requested by the Camp Verde Marshal's Office to investigate these allegations criminally. Sedona investigator Sergeant Michael Dominguez completed and submitted the criminal report to the Yavapai County Attorney's Office. The County Attorney's Office later declined prosecution. On March 4, 2021, Camp Verde Marshal's Office Lieutenant Stephen Butler completed an internal investigation of Sergeant Basil's alleged misconduct. Sergeant Basil told Lieutenant Butler that he had taken time off, or he had been told to take time off, referring to as flexing the time, as opposed to requesting overtime since the time that he had started as a new officer. He said that he had always flexed time off when he worked overtime and entered a 40-hour work week, not reflecting the actual hours he worked, to simplify the timesheet. Sergeant Basil was confident that he had always worked 40-hour work weeks, but he had been trained not to submit a timesheet that reflected the specific times that he worked overtime and the times he did not work when he flexed off the overtime. Sergeant Basil told Lieutenant Butler there were times that Sergeant Basil would be called out on his days off and he would not check, he wouldn't check on with CAD or with dispatch. Sergeant Basil provided several scenarios when he was called out on his days off or worked overtime and then flexed the time off, not reflecting overtime on his timesheet. On March 26, 2021, AZ Post staff received two sworn affidavits from Sergeant Basil's attorney, who also provided these affidavits to the Yavapai County Attorney's Office. Former Camp Verde Marshal's Office Deputy Sergeant Brandon Collins and Deputy Paul Rotzler prepared these affidavits. In their written statements, both the former deputies corroborated Sergeant Basil's version of how they were directed to flex out their overtime and had been admonished by the Camp Verde Marshal's office leadership to not include overtime work in their timesheets. Former Sergeant Collins included that Sergeant Basil had covered for him while he was off work on FMLA, and Sergeant Basil frequently received calls from Sergeant Collins' deputies during Sergeant Basil's days off. Sergeant Basil's employment was terminated on March 10th of 2021. AZ Post staff is unable to determine if Sergeant Basil falsified his timesheets, and therefore, based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board take no action with agency discretion. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I do.
Colonel?
So based on what you looked into, there wasn't enough evidence to confirm or deny any of those charges, whether it was theft, fraud schemes, or tampering with a public document.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's all I need to think. Thank you, Colonel. Any further questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to close this case with no action with agency discretion.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Jerry Williams, second, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chief. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Next case, 21-009, Ms. Hawes. Floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kathy Hawes, one of your compliance specialists. On August 4th, 2020, Joseph Klaus, formerly with the Tucson Police Department, responded to a apparent suicide call in Tucson. Prior to arriving on scene, responding officer had received information from dispatch the victim was still breathing. Officer Klaus entered the victim's apartment and contacted her in the bedroom. She was on the bed with an apparent gunshot to the head, the gun still lying next to her outstretched left hand. Prior to checking for a pulse, Officer Klaus's body-worn camera shows him stating the victim was deceased. He then physically checked for a radial pulse for less than 1 second before advising dispatch she was deceased and to cancel the fire department. For the next 21 minutes after his pronouncement, multiple officers entered and exited the bedroom. She received no medical care for over 20 minutes when another officer, who was conducting a records check on the firearm, noticed the victim's chest begin to rise and fall as if she was breathing. Life-saving measures began and fire was requested to return to the scene. She was transported to Banner Medical Center with life-threatening injuries. However, 4 days later, she was taken off life support by her family. Officer Klaus had more medical training than any other officer on scene. He was a U.S. Navy corpsman prior to joining TPD and had tactical combat casualty care, operational emergency medicine, advanced trauma management, along with the first aid training he received in the academy. He had also completed a basic death investigation course. Officer Klaus had a previous incident on February 14, 2019, where it was determined he failed to act and a person passed away because of it. He received an 80-hour suspension in that case. The department sustained allegations of failure to take appropriate action and policy and procedure violations with a recommendation of termination. However, Officer Klaus resigned from the Tucson Police Department. Based on the facts in this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hollins. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Jerry Williams, I move that we accept staff's recommendation with this potential motion to initiate proceedings on Mr. Klaus's peace officer certification, case number 21-009.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Matt Medina, I'll second.
Thank you, Matt. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-093. Mr. Jacobs, the floor is yours.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. This case involves a former Gila River police officer by the name of Anthony Cardinal. In about March of 2021, Gila River police became aware of inappropriate behavior committed by Sergeant and Acting Lieutenant Anthony J. Cardinal. The inappropriate behavior consisted of Sergeant Cardinal sending emails, text messages, and photographs to various department females, some of which were in his chain of command. When interviewed, each of the involved females admitted having received communications from Sergeant Cardinal that was sexually suggestive and inappropriate. One female reported having received a text message from Sergeant Cardinal along with a picture of his penis that was unsolicited and unwanted. When questioned by investigators, Sergeant Cardinal was cooperative and admitted to the conduct and resigned in lieu of termination on May 13th of 2021. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. If there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Any questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Cardinal's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Jamie. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-088. Mr. Jacobs, back to you.
Yes, sir. This case involves a former police officer from the Clifton Police Department, Stephen W. McBride. During his night shift beginning May 10th of 2021, Officer Stephen McBride responded to reported domestic violence where Mr. B.M. and his wife engaged in a physical altercation that culminated with Mr. B.M. dragging his wife into their bedroom by her neck, restricting her ability to breathe. Mr. B.M. was arrested and transported to the Greenlee County Jail for booking. Upon arriving at the jail, Mr. B.M. refused to complete the portable breath test as required by booking protocol. And detention officers informed Officer McBride that without the PBT, Mr. B.M. would need to be transported to the medical clinic and be cleared for booking. Instead of transporting Mr. B.M. to the hospital, Officer McBride elected to cite and release Mr. B.M. at his residence where his wife, the victim of the assault, was still present. Officer McBride authored a memo to his supervisor reporting Mr. B.M. was transported to his residence following detention officers refusing to accept him into the jail. Following a notice of inquiry, Officer McBride was questioned and asserted it was detention officers who informed Mr. B.M. that if he did not complete a PBT, he would not be booked into jail and would instead be cited and released. These facts were not supported by audio-video evidence obtained from the jail. Officer McBride also admitted to during questioning that he had been informed by the dispatcher that Ms. BM's wife was still present at the resident and that he should not transport Mr. BM home. However, the officer McBride explained to the investigator that he had already given Mr. BM his word and he could not go back on it. On May 17, 2021, Officer McBride was served with a notice of investigation for dishonesty and he immediately submitted his resignation. The investigation was completed without the participation of Officer McBride. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. McBride's peace officer certification in case 21-088.
Thank you, Jamie. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Last case of the day, 21-112. Back to you, Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, this case involves former Gilbert Police Officer John Strickland. During about 2014, Officer John T. Strickland began an extramarital relationship with Ms. C.M., the wife of Mr. J.M., both family friends of Officer Strickland and his wife, Ms. L.S. During about 2017, Mr. J.M. was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to prison for assaulting his wife, Ms. C.M. Beginning with the arrest of Mr. J.M., Mr. J.M.'s sister, Ms. S.J., believed Officer Strickland and Ms. C.M. had conspired to have her brother arrested and communicated her beliefs with others and to Officer Strickland. During about 2020, Officer Strickland's wife, Ms. L.S., separated from Officer Strickland due to his ongoing relationship with Ms. C.M. On April 4th, 2021, Ms. S.J. filed a complaint with the Gilbert Police Department alleging Officer Strickland had threatened to put a bullet in her head and provided a screenshot from an Instagram message supporting her allegation. When questioned, Officer Strickland acknowledged sending the message to Ms. L.S., but stated he did so after Ms. L.S. had made threats against Ms. C.M. After Ms. L.S.'s Officer Strickland's wife, separated from Officer Strickland, Officer Strickland began sending his estranged wife vile and threatening email messages. And on April 26, 2021, Ms. L.S. had Officer Strickland served with an order of protection. Officer Strickland contested the order, but on May 11, 2021, the judge upheld the order, deemed Officer Strickland a threat to Ms. safety, and prohibited Officer Strickland from possessing a firearm and or ammunition. When asked by Officer Strickland, the judge declined to make an exception for Officer Strickland to possess a firearm while performing peace officer duties. Officer Strickland resigned in lieu of termination from the Gilbert Police Department effective June 29, 2021. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceeding. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Any questions from board members? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Strickland's peace officer certification in case 21-112.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Next agenda item, item I, future agenda.
Director, Chairman, discuss the Prop 207 funding for academies at the future meeting. We'll agendize it so we can have a full discussion about it. And by then, we should have a clear direction on how we're going to proceed. But with that, I'm happy to entertain any other future agenda items any board member would like us to consider.
Hearing none. Thank you, Director. Any final comments from members? Good seeing everybody. And with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Matt Figueroa, motions to adjourn.
We'll move. Commander, thank you. Have a safe month, everybody. Take care.